Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 6th chapter, the first 4 verses. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. There's a group of pastors that meet in town, usually once a month, for a study group. I happened to be there a few years ago, and they were talking about counseling situations where there might be someone in their congregation who is caught up in a particular sin and doesn't seem to really care about it, still claims and professes to be a Christian, and yet at the same time feels it's no big deal for them to continue living on in a sinful situation, and how frustrating this is. And one of the pastors gave a very interesting illustration that he claims he's used in some of these cases to try to explain this to people. He said, imagine a young couple that's coming to get married, and they come to the altar, and right before the wedding service starts, the bride, who's in the arms of her fiancé, turns to him and says, I love you so much, and I just want you to know that no matter what you'd ever do, I'd always forgive you and take you back. And he says to her, I love you too, honey. And in order to test what you just told me, I'm going to go sleep with someone else tonight. And he said that illustration he would often use to try to get people to realize what it's like when a Christian just takes advantage of God's forgiveness and his grace. That's really the issue that St. Paul is addressing in the text in front of us today. There's a rebellious nature inside of all of us that listens to and hears and appreciates the grace of God, and yet at the same time might want to take advantage of that and abuse it, if you will. Now, St. Paul, in chapter 6 of Romans, has just come through 3 of the most beautiful chapters on the doctrine of justification. In other words, that the way that sinful people like us are declared right with God is only through the work of Christ. That Christ has come into this world to pay for all of our sins, shed his holy blood to wipe those away before God. Just think of some of the passages. We have been justified freely by his grace, he says in an earlier chapter. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's just put all these beautiful passages out in front of us about grace, to be saved by God's grace as a free present. And now he addresses what he knows is a temptation in all of our hearts, because our sinful flesh, our sinful human nature, tries to find loopholes in this. As if to say, well, if Jesus paid for everything, if his blood is the entrance fee to be led into heaven, if he took care of it all, if he's wiped away all of my sins and God will always forgive me, maybe I can just live any way I want. Maybe how I live my life doesn't really matter anymore because Jesus has taken care of it all. That temptation is powerful at all stages of our life. I do think sometimes when we're in our youthful years, it's maybe even a more powerful one. We like to kind of toy with God's grace and forgiveness, the way a group of 12-year-old boys play hacky sack and kind of say to ourselves, well, someday in my life, someday way down the road, I'm going to plan to get serious about this Christianity stuff, but right now, I'm having too much fun playing with my sin. Martin Luther said this, to paraphrase him, God's grace is like medicine to cure us from all sin. But we shouldn't think to ourselves, great, let's injure ourselves more so we can drink more medicine. People who drive trains, the engineers that drive trains, will occasionally tell stories about seeing birds of prey like hawks or eagles that swoop down onto the train track to try to lift a dead deer carcass off of the train track. And sometimes their talons, their claws, get so deep into the flesh of that animal trying to lift it that they'll stay there holding on to it, trying to get it out of there, and end up dying because of the train running them over. So what has Satan put in your life right now, or my life? What has he put out in front of us right now? What dirty, filthy, dead thing is sitting out in our lives right now that our souls and minds and hearts like to latch onto and don't want to let go of, and could ultimately cause us to spiritually die? St. Paul is talking to believers, and he says, is that how we should think about sin? Is that how we should handle sin in our lives? Should we try to just keep sinning so that God's forgiveness can be bigger and greater? He uses the strongest Greek negative you can find. Absolutely not, he says. You could really translate it, don't even let the thought get started in your mind. Dr. C.F.W. Walther said this, "Christ died to free us from our sins, but not to give us freedom to sin." And sometimes we can maybe start to think of it that way. Your baptism, when God poured the waters on your head, whether as a child or an adult, when God claimed you as his own, he made you the beneficiary of both Good Friday and Easter. By your baptism, God considers you personally to have been there on the cross atoning for your own sins through Christ. He was your substitute, and your baptism, he says here, connects you to that, not just symbolically, but in reality, in the heart and mind of God. And in the same way that Christ, by his death, went down into the grave and defeated it and rose again, you likewise, through your baptism, not only participated in the death of Christ, but you now have also won the victory over death through baptism because you're connected to that powerful Savior. And so Paul is using this in our lives to say to us, the new man in us, the believer in us that has come to appreciate and treasure this wonderful forgiveness of God that's full and complete in Christ, the new man in us that realizes that we've been connected to all of this and been given this gift of faith to possess all of this, that new man now should rise. And every time that you and I, as believers in Christ, even though we still fall and struggle with our sins, but every time we go back and repent of those sins before God and ask his forgiveness from a sincere heart with a desire to not want to go back to it again and so on, whenever that activity happens in us, that's the power of our baptism coming out, that new man that arises daily inside of us. And so may God stir this up in each one of our hearts. May he stir up a love and an appreciation for this tremendous grace that we get to live inside of, that's going to someday take us through the gates of heaven. And may he stir that up in us and utilize the power of your baptism to make you an Easter child, an Easter daughter, an Easter son that lives in that power of the resurrection of Christ all the way till you're taken home. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. We beseech you, Almighty God, grant unto us that we who celebrate the wonderful blessings of our Lord's resurrection may, by the renewal of your Holy Spirit, rise again from the death of our souls and walk in newness of life. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.